Now, dozens of cattle herds in the United States are infected with bird flu, and public health experts say there is a risk that migratory birds will carry the strain around the world, infecting cows in other countries. The outbreak, which is the first in cattle, is so far known to have infected 36 dairy herds in 9 states. Scientists do believe it is more widespread, though. One Texas dairy worker tested positive for the virus in March. New reports saying he developed a serious eye infection in his right eye but had no signs of respiratory infection or fever. The bird flu H5N1 is being detected in some milk samples. We're joined by Massey University Distinguished Professor of Infectious Disease Epidemiology and Public Health, Nigel French. Kia ora, good morning to you.
Kia ora, good morning.
How worried should we be about this bird flu? I guess for birds, for the dairy industry and for humans as well.
I think on a global scale there is a big concern, obviously, because of its widespread movement or rapid movement around the world, and also the fact that it seems to be jumping into new hosts. As far as New Zealand's concerned, it hasn't reached Oceania yet, and obviously there's a lot of work going on to try and detect it should it arrive here early, and also to be able to put measures in place to control it.
That's just with the bird population at the moment in terms of New Zealand surveillance?
Yeah, the surveillance is really focused on wild birds. So MPI, Biosecurity New Zealand, Department of Conservation are putting a lot of effort into assessing the threat and conducting surveillance activities around New Zealand and in the sub-Antarctic as well. There's some work going on down there.
Okay, what about a cattle? This sounds fairly widespread in the United States. How serious is it?
Yeah, this is the first ever report of avian influenza and this particular strain in cattle as well. So it is concerning. And I think the issue is that there's quite a large number of herds affected. The lack of understanding of actually how it's being transmitted is causing concern. But also there's some information now that suggests it may have been around a bit longer, maybe since autumn last year, and gone undetected. So it is a concern, particularly for the United States dairy industry and for public health as well.
Yes, well, one dairy worker's tested positive. Do we know how he may have been infected?
It's not clear, but it's most likely that he acquired it from the cattle themselves. It's known to be excreted in milk, in feces, in urine and saliva. So it's not surprising, given the close contact that farm workers have with animals, that he got infected from those animals.
When we think about these flus and viruses, I guess COVID is one of the first things that come to mind. Are we looking at something like that, or is it still a wee way away from that?
Yeah, there are a number of differences between the influenza viruses and COVID. I think there's always been a concern that the next pandemic could be a flu virus. Whether it's the bird flu virus or not depends on whether it acquires particular mutations that allow it to transmit person to person. So for a pandemic agent to arise, it's really got to be effectively transmitted person to person. And this particular bird flu viruses have not shown strong transmission between people or any transmission between people. And the other thing to bear in mind is that there is a vaccine available for the flu viruses and for bird flu, and there's a candidate vaccine virus available for the strain that's currently circulating as well.
Appreciate your time this morning. That is a Massey University Distinguished Professor of Infectious Disease Epidemiology and Public Health, Nigel French, just talking about the latest strain of bird flu. It is 27 minutes past 8 now. Well, New Zealand's Sale GP team, the Black Foyles, are still top of the table this season, despite some mixed results in Bermuda. Spain won the latest race overnight, with New Zealand finishing second, Australia in third. On the first day of racing, the Black Foyles came third, fourth and fourth again, and won one race overnight. That puts New Zealand on 77 points for the season, Australia 67 and Spain on 65. With us now is AUT sailing expert Professor Mark Orams. Kia ora, good morning.
Morena, Ingrid.
Yeah, so there was a bit of shifting around in those placings overnight. New Zealand was, fourth heading into that final day. I was going to ask if there was a way back, and it seemed that there was.
Yes, it appears that Peter Burling and co have adopted a strategy now where they're quite conservative on day one, particularly on their starts. What they're trying to do is just manage the risk of what happened to Australia in Lyttelton, of a major calamity that really ends up either wrecking their boat or forcing a lot of penalty points on them. They're at the top of the table, and the end game for them is to ensure they're in the top three going into the finals in San Francisco.
When you talk about the calamity, the Americans had a spectacular, horrific accident, really. What happened there over the weekend?
Yeah, so it just goes to show that these boats, while the top people make it look really easy, it doesn't take much to go wrong to end up in a major calamity. And it's just a real a lucky outcome that nobody was seriously injured in that capsize from the USA. So they just simply got it wrong in a practice race where their main wing inverted. So in effect, it went the wrong way round, and that immediately flipped the boat. And as we saw, when you've got the thing on its side, it's quite hard to stay in it, and they dropped most of their crew down onto the wing.
How far was that fall?
Oh, that's over 10 metres. So,
wow,
you know,
yeah,
it's a pretty significant fall, and there's a lot of carbon fibre in the wing that they landed on. So, some bruising, but no major injuries. So that's very fortunate.
Yes, indeed. Okay, just tell us finally. So this is part of a series, and it all culminates in San Francisco. So what happens from here?
Yes, so there's two more events. The next one's Halifax, Canada on the 1st and 2nd of June. And then the penultimate one is in New York. So both the next two are on the East Coast of the United States. And then the grand final, which is the $2 million winner-take-all event, which is the big game that both New Zealand and Australia are absolutely gunning for, is in San Francisco. Now, the Aussies are the ones to knock off the perch. They've won the first three seasons straight. They've been leading all the way through this season until